We look primarily at the last two verses, but the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 7, reading through verse 13. And he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, there will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. We looked last Sunday at this first part of this passage primarily at some of the marks of a disciple. We said first that a disciple had a relationship to Jesus. They had responded to his call to come to him. They had grown in him. They had received power from him. And then they went out in obedience to him. They went out in simplicity. He said, don't carry a bag, don't carry money, you know, just go out. And we should be more simple sometimes in the way we present the gospel. But they went out with generosity. They had received freely and they freely gave. Come tonight to look at verses 12 and 13. In these two verses, we have an account of the work that 12 did when Jesus sent them out. They tell us not only what the disciples did, but also call us to some similar task. With a great deal of help from William Barclay, I offer the following for your consideration tonight. First, they herald forth the message of Jesus. Most translations have this word here, preach. They preach the word. But the word used is literally the word used for a herald's proclamation. When the disciples went out to preach, they did not create a message. They brought a message. They herald forth the message of Jesus. They did not speculate about what might be probable or what they considered to be true for their own study or thinking. Rather, they told the people what God had told them. They did not bring their opinions to share. They brought God's revealed truth for all to hear. And if you and I would be effective in our faith sharing, we must be able to bring a word from God. We must be able to say, not just this is what I believe or this is what I think, but thus saith the Lord. For the years, I had the words of the Greeks who came to Philip pasted upon the pulpit where I saw it every Sunday morning. You remember the account where some Greeks came wanting to see Jesus? They came to Philip and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. I had those words, sir, we would see Jesus there on the pulpit. I got the idea when I attended a Lutheran church in Atlanta and they had an elevated pulpit where the minister had to go up steps to get up to the pulpit, and engraved in the marble plaque on the wall, part of the building, with the words, sir, we would see Jesus. This must always be the aim in my preaching. To present Jesus so people can know him and respond to him. Then they have a firm foundation for life and this church is strengthened as well. Sometimes people build an organization or church around themselves. But if ever I attract people to myself and they make a commitment based on loyalty to or like for me, then I have failed them and Jesus most tragically. I have called someone to build their lives on sand. Jesus is the only sure foundation. We are to be heralds, to herald forth the message of Jesus. This is my joy and responsibility. And it's something of your joy and responsibility to tell about Jesus. Listen to God. Live in His Word. Wait before Him in prayer. Receive His message and then share it with others. The disciples herald forth the message of Jesus. And to the people they brought the king's message. And the message was, repent. Repent. We've looked at this several times in recent weeks, but I do not believe we can overemphasize it. Repent was the message of John the Baptist. Repent was the first message of Jesus. And it's always a disturbing message. For to repent means to change. It means to change your mind and to fit your actions to your change of mind. It's not enough to say that I repent, that I'm sorry for my sin, that I believe in Jesus, and then go on living the same way. To repent is to change, to turn around, to fit your actions to your new change of mind. It's a change of heart, a change of action. Repentance is bound to hurt, for it involves admitting that you were doing wrong and going in the wrong direction. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. Someone years ago, and you've heard this, I'm sure, said the hardest thing in the world to say to your spouse was, I was wrong and you're right. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to change. Few of us want to repent, for it's too painful to admit that we're wrong. Too disturbing to change our ways of living, acting, thinking, and relating to people and to God. To repent means to change everything about you. There's a passage in the novel Quo Vadis. A young Roman had fallen in love with a girl who's a Christian. And because he's not a Christian, she'll have nothing to do with him. And I think there's a lesson in that for our world today. How much better the world would be and how much better off people would be if they were more selective in choosing their life's partners. And not to choose someone because of looks or this or that or the other, but because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. But anyway, this young man loved the young lady according to the novel, and he follows his beloved to a secret night gathering of a little group of Christians. And there, unknown to anyone, he listens to the service and to the preacher preaching. And he hears Peter preach, and as he listens, something happens to him. He felt that if he wished to follow this teaching, he would have to place on a burning pile all his thoughts, habits, and character, his whole nature up to that moment, and burn them into ashes, and then fill himself with a new life altogether different, and an entirely new soul. That's a pretty powerful picture of repentance. To take everything that we were before and place it on the fire and burn it up, and then to fill ourselves with a new life, a new soul, as Jesus comes to live within us. Repentance is revolutionary. That's why so few want to ever truly repent. But the disciples herald forth the message of Jesus. And to the people they brought the king's message, and the message was to repent. But also we find here they brought the king's mercy. Not only did they bring the shattering demand to repent, but they also brought God's mercy. They cast out demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They brought the king's mercy. They brought healing. They brought health. To people with shattered minds and broken bodies, they brought God's touch of healing and wholeness. They brought liberation to people who were poor and demon-possessed. They brought life to people who had no hope. One of the greatest needs, I think, of people today is just to have hope again. To believe that God is really there. That God loves us. And He will provide a way for us. They brought life to people who had no hope. And from its beginning, We forget this sometimes, but from its beginning, Christianity has ministered to the whole person, the total person. His concern has been to call people to repentance and get them rightly related to God, but not to stop there. They ministered to the whole person. Jesus is our example of this. His first word, as we saw in Mark 1:14-15, was to repent and believe the gospel. And then he called the 12 to follow him, and in verses 21 and 22 of the first chapter, we find him in the synagogue teaching with authority. He spent much of his time teaching, preaching, calling people to repent and turn to God. But we get no further than the first chapter, verses 23 and 28, before we find him healing a poor, demon-possessed man and making him whole in body, mind, spirit. He called people to repent, but he healed. Next, we find him in verses 29-31, healing Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. In verses 32-34, he healed many who were ill of various diseases and cast out demons. Verses 40-45, we find him healing a leper. On and on in Mark's gospel, we see Jesus healing along with his teaching. He ministered to the whole person. His first word is repent and believe the gospel. But he went on to heal the sick, to bring hope to the hopeless, sight to the blind, deaf to those that could not hear, ability to speak to the mute. He brought wholeness to life. And he fed the multitudes who were hungry. He ministered to the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. And surely he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. I think sometimes we swing too far from one end of the spectrum to the other. Sometimes people, all they want to do is to preach, repent, and believe the gospel. And other people, all they want to do is to heal the sick and feed the hungry. Jesus did both. He calls us to do both. And if you study the history of this country in particular, you'll find that nearly every one of the earliest schools in this country was started by the church. I hesitate to even mention the name Auburn, though Bob Benton and I spent a lot of our lives there. Most people don't know that Auburn University was originally a female academy for women started by the Methodist Church back before the Civil War. Many of the schools in this nation, great schools, were started by the church. Many of the great hospitals were started by the church. And I know there are orphanages that governments have started, but I've never known an orphanage myself that wasn't started by the church, maintained and cared for by the church. The message is to repent, believe the gospel, but the mercy of God brings healing. A body, mind, spirit. Wholeness. Wholeness of life and all of relationships. So let us herald forth the message of Jesus. It's His message, not ours. It's His message to repent and believe the gospel. The message of the King. Repent. Believe. But let's also remember always the King's mercy. Forgiving, healing, feeding, caring for the whole person in love. What a joy. What a privilege. What a responsibility is ours to herald forth the message and show the mercy of our King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your coming and for your coming to call us to new life in repentance as we believe the gospel. Help us to be faithful in sharing this good news with others, but help us also to show forth the mercy that you showed in healing the sick and feeding the hungry and caring for those without hope. Let us go from this place to make disciples. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray.